Okay, good morning. I'd like to echo that, but in the opposite direction. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, you know, especially a day when there is no yeshiva here. But learning over here is part of what keeps this yeshiva going, and we definitely appreciate it. I did debate whether I was giving a share or not, but after last week and focusing on what really the share is, I said I have to figure out a way how to do this. Now, I know there's some problems with the coffee, so I hope everyone stays awake throughout the share, but I'll tell you definitely, or by the end, everyone should nudge the guy next to him if he's asleep.
Sometimes you rise with fire, sometimes you rise with fire.
That's what happens when you give a shit.
Yes. The coffee's now good, I'm told. But I'll tell you, at the end of the share, I have a special story. I just had to research this morning. I had to call Eretz Yisrael to track down the person. They actually just got through security by the Kotel. They stopped to tell me over the story and then went further. So you definitely want to tune in for that at the end of the share. So today's share, I called Waterworks. My kids right recognize this sign. Complex mikveh water issues. And in honesty, when you deal with halachas involving mikvos, it is definitely complex. A mikveh, the halachas of mikvos, are halachas which probably most people don't study really in their lifetime. And they are important halachas, yeah, on the complex side. But today, we're going to try to water it down and clarify it that everyone should walk away with a better understanding.
Filter it down to a test. We'll be totally hydrated.
Exactly. People should fully understand. They should literally be drinking it up by the end of the share. Now, just before we begin, to know the basics, you know, involving mikvahs, we know a mikvah is a body of water that has to contain 40 sa of rainwater. Now, that's not necessarily so easy, especially in drier climates, and, you know, give multiple shirim hell, and, you know, in the middle of the desert, how do they have a mikvah? Complicated halachas involved. A person who goes to the mikvah has to immerse their entire body, every last hair, into the mikvah. If, unfortunately, a person went to the mikvah, but even one hair was left out of the mikvah, that tefillah does not count, and they're not good to go. You know, the halachas of mikvahs are important halachas, obviously, one for taharas mishpacha, but also involving gerim, also involving tefillas kelim, and hopefully speedily on our days when we have back to Beis HaMikdash, we have dim tumah v'tahara, then really that's something that's appropriate for everybody on a daily basis. So a mikvah is this very important body of water that when you go into a mikvah, and if you do it properly, you emerge tahar. Okay. I'd like to focus on one Mishnah, really even part of one Mishnah, Maseches Mikvos, which this Mishnah, I believe, teaches us three important principles that we could expound on. It's, you know, particularly nice that we're doing these halachas. These are the days called Yimei Shovavim, which are days that people focus on studying in general the halachas of Taharas HaMishpacha. So I figured mikvah is something to focus on. It's even connected to these parashios. They say one of the reasons why Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chazal bring, why he brought the Makkah of Dam on Mitzrayim was because of the fact that they held back husbands and wives from being together, all the gzeros that were on the Jewish children. And Mida Kedeged Mida, Hashem made the Mitzrayim suffer that all their waters turned into blood. So we'll begin the Mishnah Mikvos. This is Perek Ches, Mishnah Hey. Ha'ochiz ba'adam uvekelim umatbilim. If someone's holding on to a person or holding on to a keli and is tovel in the mikvah, timeim, they are tamei. That means the fact that you're holding on to somebody or something, that messes up the tefillah in the mikvah. Everything else could have been perfect. The body is totally submerged. Kosher mikvah. You went through, you know, the whole nine yards. It's not easy. But if a person's holding on to another person, holding on to another object, halacha is your tummy. Second halacha, v'medeach es yado b'mayim tahorim. But if you first dipped, you washed your hands in water, then you're tahor. That sounds like one potential solution to the problem. By putting your hand in the water, which will explain what that concept is. And thirdly, the Mishnah says, Reb Shimon Omer, Yarpa, you should loosen your grip, Kadei sheyavo behem mayim, in order that water should come onto you. So the third thing the Mishnah is saying, seemingly another solution, the issue with ha'ochiz ba'adam uvekelim, is when you're gripping it tightly. But if one would grip it loosely, then Reb Shimon says everything is fine. Those are the three issues the Mishnah talks about. This Mishnah is brought lahalacha in the Shulchan Aruch, also on your sheets there, Os Gimel. Lo sochiz adam b'chaverto b'yado b'shas tefillah. One shouldn't grab on to their friend when they're going to the mikvah b'shas tefillah. El imkein rifsa yado k'dei sheyavo amayim b'makom achizis yadayim. Here, the Shulchan Aruch first brings the third point that you should, unless you loosen your grip, vim hedicha yado b'mayim tchila, but if you wet your hands to begin with in water, shari shemashka tofeach shal yodeh chibor mei mikvah, that this extra moisture on your hands is considered a connection for the mikvah. So again, these three halachos brought in the Mishnah, the order's a little bit flipped, but it is also represented here in Shulchan Aruch.
You're talking about the hand in the mikvah water or separately?
Yes. Yes, we'll talk about that. Excellent. Excellent point. So I want to go through in depth these three issues the Mishnah brings up. I'll go with the order of the Shulchan Aruch and analyze each of the three. Number one, what's the problem of holding on to somebody when they go into the mikvah? And we'll see. This is a very practical shaila. There are many situations of people who need assistance in going to a mikvah. What exactly is the problem of holding on to somebody? Really, the issue is even if people who don't need a physical assistance, someone else being there when they go to the mikvah, but even mikvahs nowadays have handrails. Holding on to that handrail is potentially the same issue here. So, what's this issue of holding on to somebody? So, the Pasha Pshat, which the Taz talks about, the Taz understands that this we're talking about is an Isser Derabbanan. It's a Chatzitza Derabbanan. We know one of the halachas, the basic halachas of mikvos, is when a person submerges into the water, there can't be anything on their body which is a Chatzitza, which is a blockage between their body and the mikvah. For example, if a person has a band-aid on their body, that would be a chatzitza. Now, there's different levels of chatzitzas, deraisas, derabbanans. For simplicity's sake, in this scenario, where this is only something which is on miyat, a minimal part of a person's body, it's not rov of a person's body, and it's something that a person would be, not, we consider to be makbid, be miyad hamakbid. So therefore, it will only be asur midrabbanan. The idea of somebody holding on to you would be a chatzitza. It will be an isur drabbanan, not a deraisa. However, it's chamer, this chatzitza, that we would say even b'dieved, it doesn't work. So it's a chamer inyan, pashup shat, But only in Issa d'Rabbanan. That's the way the Taz learns in many poskim. However, upon research, I found the Badei HaShulchan, which is a modern-day sefer on Hilchos Nida and multiple other areas. So he found that really this dates back to Machlokas Rishonim. And there are some Rishonim that hold that a person holding on to another person going to the mikvah is actually an Issur D'Oraisa. Why is it an Issur D'Oraisa? He says, because it's more than a chatzitza. It's as if the person didn't fully go into the mikvah. As we said before, the most basic halachas of going into the mikvah, the person has to fully submerge. So if part of their body didn't go into the mikvah, the top of their head, even one hair didn't go into the mikvah, then that's not a psold, that's a psold araisa. You never went into the mikvah. So who adin, some poskim, dating back to Rishonim, hold, if someone was holding on to you when you went into the mikvah, that would be psold madaraisa. I was wondering.
Is that assuming wet hands, wet mikvah hands?
We'll get, no. This is just simple case, no solutions. Person's gripping very tightly, person going into the mikvah. So you run into this Mishnah's problem of ha'ochiz ba'adam when they go into the mikvah. Now the simply it makes sense, I think the first position, that's considered a chatzitza. The same way if you have a band-aid on you, if you have something on you, your entire body is not going into the mikvah, your entire body is not coming in contact. That's a chatzitza, that's a blockage. So seemingly a person gripping you is also a blockage. What's this idea that it might even be a deraisa that you didn't submerge? Yeah? Say it again.
Would it be enough even when the other person was actually in the mikvah?
So yes, we will talk about that. That does involve, you know, potentially the other person, if they're in the mikvah, seemingly they're wet. So yeah. So we'll get to that. But for the meantime, let's make it simple. I don't know, someone's holding on to you. They have long hands. You're in the mikvah. They're not. They're gripping you strongly. So there's no solution. It's definitely awesome. The question is awesome midrabbanan or midaraisa. But what would be the tzad that this is awesome midaraisa? Seemingly, all this is a chatzitza. So perhaps, I'll think about it, I'm not sure, but perhaps one could explain the shita. Very interesting. When you go into a mikvah, let's say with a band-aid on you, so you did submerge, except being the fact that there's a blockage, you have this band-aid on you, that's a chatzitza. That invalidates your tefillah. Over here, where you're submerging in the mikvah, but somebody else is holding on to you, in a certain sense, it's not in your control. It's somebody else who's exerting force on you. This part of the case is not doing it for your detriment, they're trying to help you, assist you, but there's somebody else controlling you when you go into the mikvah. That control is viewed more than just a chatzitza, something which separates you from the mikvah. It's more than that. Because a chatzitza, I'm going in, I have control, I just happen to have something on me. Here, there's somebody else sort of like holding you back from fully going into the mikvah. Your entire body wasn't exposed because this other person is exerting a force. They're holding you. So maybe something like that is now viewed as I put my body fully into the mikvah. And mamela, that's worse than just a chatzitza. That's as if you didn't go and be possum of the raisa. Right, so I don't want to bring in other people. But just within the person themselves, here is a case where they're going into the mikvah, but someone's sort of holding them back. So a person holding me back, that's viewed as if I didn't fully go into the mikvah. It's not fully my control.
You're home for a second.
Well, I'll get to that.
So that's not an issue of whether or not there's a chatzitza. That's an issue of whether or not you're fully in control if you're going to
the mikvah. Exactly. And that's why it would be worse than a chatzitza. Potentially could even be an issa d'oraisa that he didn't fully submerge in the mikvah. Yes?
Is there any issa d'oraisa for the person who's doing the mikvah?
No. They're trying to help you. I mean, it's a very interesting question. I didn't see anyone bring that up. You know, these halachas of mikvahs are complex. And it is, in a certain sense, it would be a shame if a person's helping another person out to the mikvah. If they're not knowledgeable of these halachas, you're not really helping them, you're hurting them. And that's really regardless of this job, certainly the way we're explaining it, that you're in a certain sense holding them back. You know, I would think, you know, I would know that I would think in most mikvahs, the people involved in running the mikvah ladies, are knowledgeable of these halachas, and these things do come up, and they'll instruct them, as we'll see soon, we'll get even to practical halachas, how to handle it. Yes?
What do you do with a baby
that's excellent question. I was actually asked that question this week. That was one of the things that someone happened to talk to me about a gerus of a little baby. Yeah. And they were having, and I was all excited. Hey, I'm giving a shir mikvahs this week. And that's an issue that comes up. What do you do with a baby that goes in? We'll see. You can't put a baby in the cradle. No such option. Right? So physically, you'd have to hold it. But you don't want to let go. So we'll get to that.
You can let go because babies naturally,
they're buoyant
and they have the ability to swim.
Okay, you could try that on your grandchild. You heard he said, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
But babies, if you look, they do have a natural ability to float.
It's
swim. And it's
for
split seconds.
Yeah. My wife gets all nervous when she sees like the mole just like palming a baby like a basketball, you know, a football, you know. that self gets you nervous. Okay. Kokovo. So that's the first issue of the Mishnah. The halacha. Holding on to somebody when they're going to the mikvah is a problem. If you're holding tight to that person. Pasha Psha is just a chatzitza and isra d'rabbanan. But there are those that say it's an issa d'oraisa, and perhaps for this idea that we said, because there's an external force exerting pressure stopping you from fully going in. Now, the second thing we saw in the Mishnah and the Halacha is if a person loosens their grip, then that will be okay. The simple understanding of that is, let's say chatzitza, either way. So when you're holding on to that, that's considered just like a band-aid or anything else on the person's body, that water's not going to get in, it's not going to fully penetrate that spot, and therefore that's a chatzitza, it doesn't work for the mikvah. But if you loosen your grip, and therefore there is room, it's not so tight, there is room for water to get in, so then that wouldn't be a problem. That's the pashtus here in the Mishnah and the Shulchan Aruch. However, post the Shulchan Aruch, the Bach, chief amongst them and others, happened to argue on this psak, and they based the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is based on a Rashba. However, there is a Rambam that says even if you have a loose grip, it still will be aser. And the Rambam's understanding is that there's room here to make a gzeira. You know, once we tell people you could have a grip, loose grip, harsh grip, there's room to make gzeiras. Once you have a loose grip, we're afraid maybe you're going to make a tighter grip. And therefore, the Rambam says at all, we don't allow this. For the record, the Taz over here paskins the Kula. He paskins like the Shulchan Aruch against the Bach. However, many poskim are choshesh for this Bach. And therefore, they strongly talk about in a situation where you are assisting to let go of the person for a moment. All you need is a moment to let go, grab right back on. And because they're afraid of this grip issue. Now, it's interesting. We don't make zeros in all scenarios, all circumstances. Why over here by a grip, you know, are we afraid? Once we let you grip loosely, you're going to grip strongly. So I saw the Aruch HaShulchan said a svara, and I think I once experienced this in Great Adventure. You know, there are some people, they go on roller coasters. Look, Mom, no hands. There are other people that are gripping that seat in front of them, that handlebar, so tight, by the time they get off their ride, they have a permanent mark on that. I was here. You don't have to graffiti it. Like, your fingernails are forever attached to that ride in Great Adventure. So I'm probably of the latter group. And that's an idea. Over here, there's more of a reason to make a gzeira on a person's grip is because it's an issue of fear. A person's going into this body of water. It's imposing. It's intimidating. You know, the whole scenario of a mikveh, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. And classically, you tell a person, once a person's holding on, try telling them, don't grip hard. I'm gripping hard. You're holding on with all your might. You don't even realize it. So therefore, there's very good reason to be afraid if we allow people to grip it, even if we, quote unquote, loose grip. What are the odds they could clearly cross the line? It's also very hard to define what exactly is a loose grip, what's a strong grip. So therefore, that's why the Bach and post-composed him were very machmer in this idea of just having a loose grip. Not so simple. Yeah, so you're right.
Which creates a little bit more fear for someone who's not.
Correct, safe. Correct. You do it, and again, this. Yeah, the whole situation is not easy. And definitely, you know, people should realize, you know, for this alone, when you understand the process, what people go through, going to mikvah, you get a lot of respect. It's not an easy thing to do. And yeah, there's a lot of fear involved. And this halacha of holding on, obviously, on the one hand, it's understandable why a person would do it, but at the same time, halacha, you have to balance that halacha says if you're holding on, then that's at least a chatzitza. Now, the third issue of the mikvah is what I want to spend the most time on. It's the most fascinating, I think, topic. We have this problem again. You can't hold on when you go to the mikvah. The first solution that the Shulchan Aruch talked about, loosening your grip, not the easy solution. Many poskim say, not so simple. So what do we have left? We have left this idea of mashka tofeach, of extra moisture. What is that? So I think the best way to illustrate it is this Gemara in Gittin. Some boys might have done it. The Gemara in Gittin talks about different ways of connecting mikvos. Really nowadays, there's a major difference, I'll preface the Gemara with this, between our mikvahs we have now and the mikvahs they had in prehistoric times. You know, every other day they're finding, you know, some other mikvah, masada here or there. You know, the old mikvahs was just basically one pit which had enough for 40 saw of water and people go into. Nowadays, obviously, we're more into cleanliness and different things. We want to filter things, right? So, warm the water, right? Nowadays, most modern mikvos have are multiple mikvos. Now, exactly how they do it is quite complicated beyond the scope of this share. But for simplicity's sake, they'll have one bore, one pit, which has the 40 saw, and that's the kosher mikvah. Then they have a bigger vat, which everyone goes into as a practical mikvah. That they'll warm the water and that they'll filter the water. But all you have to do basically is connect those two mikvos. Once the two are connected, then your main kosher mikvah, that's what you're using, you know, for everybody, kashrus. But no one's really going into that. They're going into this other bigger vat, and that's where you just connect the two through these complicated mikvah ideas. So one of the ideas is the idea of mashka tofeach. So the Gemara talks about it over here in Gittin. If you read like the fifth line in, the quote of Mishnah actually, the Tanan. Mikvah sheyeshbo or abam sa mechlevenes. Again, with the days of the Mishnayos, the Gemara, you have one mikvah, and that mikvah has exactly 40 sa. If it misses one drop of water, you don't have your 40 sa, the mikvah is invalid. And it was a busy season. V'yodushnayim v'yidfu. Two guys want to go in and be tovel. Bezech or zeh, one after the other. So the Mishnah writes, Rishon Tahar, the first guy is Tahar, Vasheni Tame, and the second guy is Tame. Why is the second guy Tame? So Rashi says, Hasheni Tame, Shechasar HaMikvah Idei Rishon. The first guy is using up all the water. He goes in, inevitably he's coming out with some water on him. As long as there's one drop missing from the mikvah doesn't work. So that second guy has a problem. He's going to go into a mikvah, there's not 40 sa. So that's why the Mishnah over here states that he's tame. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, I have an etza. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hayaragel Sharisho Nogas Bemayim. If the first guy's feet are still in the water, Abba Sheni Tar. Even the second guy is tar. How do you explain that? It's the same exact metzias. We're not, the first guy goes into mikvah, he's inevitably taking water with him. The second guy goes in. He said before, he should be tameh. Now we're saying, well, the first guy's feet are there, it's tar. Now, let me tell you, the pshat is not, well, the guy's drawing off in the mikvah, so his water is just like falling off and back into the mikvah, and now the 40 saw is back. No. That doesn't work like that. We assume that some of that water got lost in transit and the towel and this absorbed into his body. Who knows? But there ain't no 40 saw in the mikvah. So how's it working with the guys there? So there's this, what we call this lumdasha concept, this fascinating idea of mashka tofeach. If there's extra moisture on a person, we view him as a conduit connected to the mikvah. You know, the mashal I'll give, you know, I'll explain this to my dear son. You know, when you play a game of freeze tag, so, you know, you could chase the guy all around the town, you know, if you're it and you're trying to get that guy, you chase him all around the town. But if you're standing on the base, then you're okay, he can't get you. What happens if there's a guy in the base? Here's the base. I'm holding on to the base. I reach out. Well, we play these games back in the day. I reach out. So, you know, in Brooklyn, we used to call it electricity. Right? I'm connected to the base. You touch me. Boom, it works. In a simplistic, very simplistic idea, that's how mikvahs work too. If you're connected with moisture, water on you to that mikvah, you are considered like part of that mikvah.
But it's got to be mikvah
water. Oh, so we'll get to that. Yes. You're connected to that mikvah, and therefore, we don't view it as if there's 40 less 40 sa now, because as long as that person's in the mikvah, and he has, it's not, he can't be dry. He has to have literally water on him, that if you touch him, it will come off you. That's the level of the amount of water that has to be on him. So in that case, we would say even the second guy is tame, is tar. Very fascinating idea of mashka tofeach. Now,
it's not working on good office, or you need that also.
For the record, if you look at Rashi over there, right? We appreciate Rabbi Fried coming. Rashi says exactly your point. Rashi le'inyan mikvahs ka'omar of Rabbi Yehudahi mishum good office. Rabbi Fried's adding complication to us. But there are concepts we know, these lumdasha type dinim. If you ever built a sukkah, and like somehow your wall, you know, there's empty space there, and your wall somehow extending using good achis, that's a similar type idea, which Rashi even quotes for understanding this. I'll leave it at that. So, firstly, you see this idea of mashka tofeach, if you have extra moisture on you, you're able to connect that to the mikvah. Found a very nice question, though, on this concept. Oh, let me explain it one more step.
Without the good office concept, you may have a problem. If you're essentially drying the guy.
So how's it pass through?
Right. It may have to be connected.
Okay. Very good. Okay, hold on. What I would like, you know, so this idea over here in the Mishnah Gittin would apply over here in our mikvah. Let's make the application. Is we have this issue of a person holding on to somebody. Holding on to somebody is at least a chatzitza. So they're not fully submerged in the mikvah. So, but if that person's hand is wet, so therefore we consider that person also as a conduit of the mikvah, and therefore don't view that hand as a chatzitza. That wet hand is part of the mikvah. And therefore, there's no problem of a person being in the water with somebody else holding on to them with a wet hand, because that wet hand is considered like part of the mikvah. That would be the application over here in our Mishnah and our Halacha. So, what's troubling, compare these two Mishnayos, of this Mishnah and the Gemara. In our Mishnah, the idea of Idiach Yadu B'mayim Tahorim, there's no author to it. It seems like it's a concept that everybody agrees to. While over here, in the Gemara and Gittin, there the opinion that you could use Mashka Tofeach, this extra moisture, is only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama said, one guy didn't say, guy is Tame. Rabbi Yehuda says, use Mashka Tofeach. So I saw people ask, how do we understand this? Over here in our case of mikvah, seems everybody agrees this is a valid way to solve the problem. Somebody's holding on to you. If that person's hand is wet, then you're all good to go. That helps. That connects you. But when it came to the mikvos issue of one guy after the other, there, we also want to use this electricity, this connection. But there, that was only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Seemingly, the Tanakhama was arguing on that. How do we understand it? Is this universally accepted or not?
But you have the problem now that the first person is out of the water and he's mechubar to the second person, but we're back to the first issue that even if one hair is out of the mikvah, he has a, it's as if it's a gufa.
Well, the first person went through the mikvah.
Right.
And he already was tar. You can't undo that.
The only concern with the first person.
No, the second person.
Is just a conduit.
No.
Well,
or are we saying the
depends who you call the first guy or the second guy. The first guy who went into the mikvah is totally tar.
Are we talking about this?
Right? He's totally tar. Now, the second guy going in, he's the guy with problems because there's no 40 saw. So the ideal is, well, if the first guy is still in there, he could be a conduit to continue the mikvah.
So he becomes like
an extension. The first man is an extension of the mikvah for the benefit of the second guy.
Yeah, but he's an extension of the mikvah. It's not an extension of the other person.
Right. Because that water, there's water between them. He's really
an entirely different situation.
You know, I think we should send you to Yerushalayim.
Okay.
I happen to find Rabbi Zriel Orbach, who's the son we spoke about a few weeks ago, of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He's currently, you know, one of the biggest poskim in Eretz Yisrael. He has good yichas on both sides. He's the son of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he's the son-in-law of Rebbe Elyashiv. So he got pretty good training in halacha. When the yeshiva went summer's month to Eretz Yisrael, we got a chance to meet him. Anyway, a wonderful person, Rebbe Zriel Orbach, has a sefer in Hilchos Nida. So I saw he was bothered by this question, and he gives that answer. There's a major difference between the two cases over here. In the case in the Gemara of Gittin, of the two people trying to be tov on the mikvah, that is exactly 40 saw. What are we trying to use this connection to do? We're trying to connect, really, two things to the mikvah. I'm trying to connect this man who already was tovel, that first guy, into the mikvah. So that's a tougher thing to do. You want to connect something to a mikvah. So there, look, there will be an opinion that says you could use these forces of connection. But realize you're doing a tough thing. You're trying to connect two bodies together, literally two bodies of water, to make it one mikvah. As opposed to, in our case, it's somewhat easier. Our case, we have a person going into the mikvah. We just have a question. Okay, there's a chatzitza, perhaps. There's a blockage. So to undo the blockage, we're not trying to create two mikvahs, make two mikvahs one. No, we're just trying to undo a blockage. So for that, perhaps everybody would say, L'kuli Alma, that as long as you have this extra moisture, you're able to connect that person's hand to other persons coming into the water of the mikvah.
But you're really connecting the moisture on the hand to the mikvah. If you're taking the person puts a hand in the mikvah and then grabs the other person, there is actually mikvah water on the other person. So you get that.
So this is a very interesting point, right? Steve's trying to challenge that.
No, that's the explanation.
Oh, you want to go the other way? You know, I'm not sure. You know, again, the idea that we're trying to say, shame of Azriel Orbach, is that when you have, by the case of the two people going into the mikvah, we call the Gemara and Gittin, there what you're doing is this person who already went to the mikvah and took out some of the water, he messed up the whole mikvah. So I want to connect them, just like we have practically nowadays, we want to connect the bore of the mikvah to the other part of the mikvah. So you're trying to connect sort of two mikvahs together. Over here, I'm not sure the vort, right, is the vort that you're trying to connect the water of on the person's hand to the water in the mikvah? Yes and no. I don't need the extra water in the mikvah. In our case, your mikvah has 40 saw, it has 50 saw, it has 70 saw.
Yep. Water touching the person.
Right. What you need is the person who's holding you back should not be considered an outside external blockage, but rather it should be considered as part of the mikvah. That's what you need. So you're removing that person as a blockage to there. You don't even need to, you're not connecting it as part. If it will be an issue, I want to make him part of the mikvah fully. That's a harder thing to do. That maybe is only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda over there. But over here, you're just trying to remove this blockage. To that, Rabbi Israel Orbach says, it's enough, according to everybody, this extra moisture. Yes, complicated point.
You can do that because we consider water in whatever form it is, system water, whether it's a liquid, a solid, or...
Okay, I'm going to qualify your statement in a moment. We're going to talk about that. Yes. Yes, I'll get to that in a moment. You guys are hitting very much on the next issue. So if it's rove of a person's body, then it's daraisa. But if it's only miyat, miyat makbe.
When you say a chatzitza, even if it's not a miyat, if it's, let's say it's a band-aid and it's sticky and it's like a part that's not, that's only drabana because
it's a drabana.
Right. Because the hair of the pshat is your body never submerged.
Even if it is submerged, the water's not getting there.
Right. But, right. We'll talk. This is a broader topic of chatzitzas.
If you're going to say it's drabanan, then you don't even have to say this extra lamdas. Just say everybody agrees to Rabbi Yehuda's talking is a derisive issue. And just the chatzitzas.
Oh, that's a very nice point. Rabbi Fried is bringing up, perhaps you could answer this stira another way, is the first issue, as we said before, one of the most basic issues in mikvahs is you have to go into a body of water that's 40 saw. So the first case is more a bigger shayla because you don't have 40 saw without mashka tefeach. While in our case, it's only a derabbanan. Okay, that chiluk exists, but I'm not sure that's the defining factor for the shitas of the Tanoim here when they argue or not. But you're right, that is a differentiation between the two cases.
What happens with a cast on a broken arm?
Ooh, these are more chatzitza issues. Yeah. Tune in, you know, it sounds like a very, very, you know, good topics, yeah? Now, a second issue I'd like to talk about, Mashka Tefeach, which a few people brought up. When we talk about the person, the attendant, let's call him that, the attendant helping the person to the mikvah by holding them, so he said if their hand is wet, that could help things. Now, what are they? How are they wet? What are they wet with? So, if you look in the Shach on your page, Os Gimel, parallel to the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch said if their hand was wet with Mayim, the Shach writes Davka Mei Mikvah. It specifically has to be mikvah water. Avolo b'mayim tlushim. But it can't be non-mikvah water. Detached water. Davka has to be that. And if you look in what I have there is Hey, Shulchan Aruch on the bottom. This is Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Hechsher Kalim. This one will be Tovel Kalim. He writes, Sarach Shia Kli roughly biyodo b'shas tefillah. The Kli has to be loose in your hands at the time you're being Tovel it. Right? You're putting that Kli into the water. Now, anyone who's ever been Tovel Kalim, you got your wife some nice fancy china. You go into that mikvah thing. You're going to hold on to it pretty tight. You know, hey, if I drop this, boy, I come home with a broken plate, I'm in trouble. Right? So, Blake, if the plate wasn't broken, she'll break on your head. But you come, now, the halacha is, if you're just going to be holding it, you have to be careful. It has to be loose in your hand for the water together. If you're gripping it tightly, that wasn't a kosher tefillah. Shemuhudu b'yado havechatzitza. However, if you get your hand wet first, then you could tightly grip that expensive china and put it in. Now, the Ramah writes, "Vidavka shelichluch yado b'mei mikvah." That's only if you got it wet with mikvah water. Avalo b'mayim tlushin. You can't go to the sink beforehand, wet your hands, and then touch it. No, it davka has to be mikvah water. That's the opinion of the Shach, which is really based on the Ramah over here.
If you don't use your skin, if you're using gloves, in certain mikvahs around here, I wouldn't name wet, but I wouldn't put my hand in that water.
That's it. That's
not even in there.
So that's a very good question. I'm not sure.
Well, the glove is going to be wet.
The glove is going to be wet.
Just submerge a basket.
Right. Right.
Yeah, we always use a net.
The basket, yeah, now I want to get a little tricky. You know, there are different halachas between tefillos kelim and tefillos people. Right? You can't submerge a person in a basket.
Well, there's some basket cases.
I'm not sure they should be going to the mikvah. The last place I want them to be. Yes?
Personally, I have a very hard time with this last little piece because what do we do today? We use regular water connected to another mikvah.
Oh,
if we have the moisture, as soon as the moisture touches the mikvah water, it's clearly the moisture is less than enough to be more than half the mikvah. So why shouldn't it be okay?
Okay, so we'll get to that. Hold on. So the Shach is writing over here, based on the Ramah in Hilchos Tefillos Kelim, that you davka need mikvah water. If you happen to look in the back of your sheets, the Taz, Os Dalid that I have there, the bottom of it, Os Chav Ches, he writes, B'mayim Tchila Perish Afilo B'mayim Tlushim. You could even have detached, separate water, She'achshav Shiskarpa L'mei Mikvah, Yehi Gam Heim Kshem Demashka Tefeach Avichiva. The low kamashikos of Ramah in Kuf Chaf, Davka Mei Mikvah. The Taz argues, he argues over here in Hilchos, in Kuf Tzadi Ches, but Hilchos Nida, but Hu Adin, he argues over there in Tefilas Kalim. No, it doesn't have to be mikvah water, it's any water. I'll tell you a big nafkamina. Let's say, practical case, you're assisting this person in the mikvah. You're holding their hand. Now, where did your hand get wet? Let's say under the water line in the mikvah. So my hand got wet with mikvah water. Then I lift my hand out of the water to adjust myself before I grip them again. You know what you just did? That water in your hand is no longer mikvah water. That's now called mayim tlushim, detached water. It's only mikvah water when it's attached to the mikvah. The moment you lift your hand out of the mikvah, that same water in your hand is now mayim tlushim, detached water. And then I grip them with that hand
outside the water.
Outside the water, that's not mikvah water anymore. So this is a machlokes, shach, and taz. Boy, Rabbi Shaffron, you have such a face. I can't ignore it. And the poskim say this idea. The poskim say the idea that something is considered mikvah water when the water is connected to the mikvah. The moment you lift your hand out of the mikvah, now the water is mayim tlushim, detached water. And if you touch the person with that hand, you don't longer have the advantage of what the shach says you need. In order to have this connectability, you specifically need mikvah water. It's only mikvah water when you're gripping them under the water. Before you're going down, there's already a chatzitza. He's saying by the time
Kito V'yadu Bangecha. Now you have a problem with the person when you have the people. The first person gets out of the mix.
Oh boy.
The second guy.
My head is spinning. Hold
so
on.
He goes Ooh. Back in to hold the guy's hand or stick his feet back in.
Okay. So Pashim Shah, this is a problem. Josh, you want to argue that even if your hand's detached, but like the moment it goes into the water now, it's mikvah water again.
No, but it came out.
Yeah, but that water is still mayim tlushim. But does it become a mikvah? Similarly, not. Does it have to get reattached to the mikvah? No, we're talking against you more than 40. So, for the record, what difference, right? The Taz wants to give an argument over here. So it sounds like, let's clarify. The Shach says the only time this mashke tefeach, what we call electricity to the mikvah, only works if you're using mikvah water. But if you're using non-mikvah water, and non-mikvah water is either you wash your hands in the faucet beforehand, or B, you even use mikvah water, but then your hand got out of the water, which... also, it's so hard to keep track. You're helping a person. Do you realize where your hand is now? Now my hand's in the water. It's out of the water. Again, you may not even realize this.
Yehuda's case with the feet is the water was out of the water.
Yeah, we're not talking about Yehuda's case now. We're back to...
It's even better. You want to say everybody agrees. They only argue because you're trying to attach it to a mikvah. But everybody
right.
would agree that it would work.
No, Rabbi, but your Yehuda's feet are still in the water.
Right. So
he never went out.
Right.
He never left.
But that his water that you want to use is...
No, his water. No, his water is all over him. Yeah.
But the water that's on top is.
Okay, hold on. Interesting. Yeah. The what? Yeah, that might be different. Yeah. Okay. Hold on. So, again, there's a machlokas here between the shach and the taz. When you're holding the person, do you have to hold them with a wet hand of mikvah water? The taz is mako. Taz will say any water over here counts. So it's machlokas. For the record, just to explain it for a moment. It's one more layer. This is just another itsy bitsy, funny, complicated step. I'll just spell it out for 2 minutes. This one, I own myself, don't think I fully got. But I'll tell you the words that Taz writes, because it's quite fascinating. The Taz explains himself and says, even though the Ramah writes, when it comes to Tfilas Kalim, that over there, we instruct you, Dafka, to use mikvah water. Right? When you're being told with that Kali, dip your hand in the mikvah with mikvah water, and then transfer the object to that hand which is under the water. That's because over there, when you're gripping something, a keli in the mikvah, we're assuming you're gripping it very strongly. So for a very strong grip, going back to the issue we talked about earlier, there you dafka need mikvah water. But over here, where we allow you to use the Taz's position, I'll be make and allow you to use non-mikvah water, that's where I'm already dealing with a loose grip.
Do you have a looser grip in a person than on your face in China? That's a bigger problem.
I assume part of it is, right? Not because you value your China more than your friend.
China sinks, people float.
Right. As I said before, even a baby, there is a certain buoyancy, and the person could stand somewhat, they wobble for a moment.
They have some awareness, too.
Right. So perhaps there that's different. So that's where the Taz wants to make a chiluk, where you're holding very tight, there your dafka might need the mikvah water. But where you're holding loosely, there it might be okay to even have a non-mikvah water. Be it as it may, this is also something the poskim are nervous about, and ideally they would instruct for you, if you're holding somebody, to hold them under the water with mikvah water. Now finally, one last thing before we get to practical halachos is, so it comes out from what we see over here in the poskim, the Shulchan Aruch in the poskim, if somebody needs assistance, so if you're holding on to them, we have this problem. It's going to be chatzitza or even worse, you're not fully submerged in the mikvah. So the solution just to hold the person loosely, many poskim reject because we're afraid you're going to come to hold tightly. In terms of the water of you using mashka tefach connecting to the mikvah, so we saw, A, that there are some poskim that say you dafka need to have mikvah water. And even within that, some poskim are still nervous about this whole idea. The Shach brings down some that not so simple. And the Taz, again, takes the kula position. And the poskim talk ideally about having both. A loose grip, not a strong grip, together with your mashka tefach. You know, ideally under the waterline, but perhaps even without that, you can have them toss. So let me go through three practical cases and I'll show you how the poskim deal with it. Number one, a railing. A regular person going into the mikvah, holding onto a railing. So here the poskim say, the best thing to do is to remove your hand, straight up. Go into the mikvah, granted there are railings there, but just use the railing till you get down into the water. Once in a while, let go for a moment, and go into the mikvah. If a person is not able to do that, so there they tell, okay, do it, but with a loose grip and holding on to it, those railings many times go into the water, hold on to it loosely into the water, you'll be okay. That's for a railing. What about a person who needs assistance? So over there, again, they say, look, if a person needs assistance, so we try to use both of these ideas. Hold the person, but with a loose grip. Keep your hand on them with mikvah water under the waterline. In fact, they even talk about gripping them and then switching your grip. So this way both areas are exposed and touch, do that. Unfortunately, what happens to a third madrega? Right? So if a regular person, they tell you to let go of a railing. A person needs assistance, you can't say let go. So mamela, you have to hold on to loosely under the waterline, mikvah water. What about a person who's handicapped, disabled, you can't let go? So there, one second, there they say you can't use a chair, we talked about, you can't use any other rope or something because these things are makabel tumah, wouldn't work.
And this is something more modern, you know, chairs.
Okay, so, right, there might be, nowadays, right, they might have some special things they contracted over the years. But practically, a simple thing, many of these things are makabel tumah, wouldn't work. But they allow you, even, you know, I saw Shlomo Zalman, I have in the back of your sheets, has in a tough situation like this, you have to grip the person tightly. An older person or this, you can rely, like the Taz says, just a mashka tofeach alone, even with a tight grip, that would work to suffice for a person to go to the mikvah. Now, I want to end with a story, an amazing story. It's the one I said I tracked down this morning by the Kotel. That Rachmon Tzlan, there was an elderly Holocaust survivor. She contacted her local mikvah, this woman who was not observant. She was 92 years old, and she contacted the mikveh lady, "I'd like to come to the mikveh." Okay, so the mikveh lady understood this was not a simple case, so why don't we meet? And this woman goes on to explain, she walks in, the woman was quite a small woman, she was 4 feet tall. 92 other woman walks in, she said, "I'm a survivor of Auschwitz, and I've never been to a mikveh in my life. And it's my dream that I go to a mikveh before I pass away." And this woman even confided in her that she's been having dreams of her mother coming to her and telling her to go to the mikveh. She'd never been to a mikveh. Unfortunately, she herself was never able to have children. She was tortured by the Nazis. She was used on these evil doctors on their medical experiments. And she was never able to do class of Torah with Mr. Shvacha, they're ready to have children. She never went to mikveh. At the age of 92 years old, this woman went with the assistance of others, went into a mikveh, and the person telling me, seeing by the kolsel, choking up in tears. The story happened probably 10 years ago. But just like an amazing thing, like this woman, she went, she said to her, after she finished, she said, "Now I could die." That was her dream. The Nazis took that away from her, the ability to live a normal life. But she, in their face, wanted to get back at them before she passed away to fulfill some idea of going to the mikveh, of this amazing opportunity that we have. It's quite hard to understand many of the halachas of mikvahs, but it's an amazing means of purity that is a wonderful thing that the Torah gives us. Thank you very much.
And you have the problem to women fighting.